subject that we're talking about today is taken out of this book, Generational Leadership. And this is chapter one, which is God's Will as a Body. And when I was pastoring the church for 20 years, I did an open mic. I put an open mic up in the meeting. I said, anybody can speak in this microphone. The microphone is always on. The only condition is when you speak in this microphone, it's the Word of God. You're saying God is saying this. And then I knew that this would create a danger, because if you're saying God is saying this, what about people who can be vulnerable to people who are saying things that are not what God is saying? So then as a leader, I accepted the responsibility to do what I call father the microphone. So someone would come to the microphone and they would say something that was wonderfully God, being led by the Spirit. They would say it publicly in the midst of worship or in a meeting. And I would take the responsibility as the headship, as the leader in the ministry, to respond to it, to open my own heart, applaud and say, God, yes, we respond. Maybe even lead the people in some sort of a public illustration of what can we do to respond to this word. In other words, we're saying yes and amen to this word. So I'm modeling to them, yes, 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 this is God. It witnesses with my spirit inside of me. They recognize it produces life inside of them. But then somebody would get the microphone and they would do something that was God, and then the rest of it was not God. So then as a leader, I would take the microphone and I would point to what God said and ignore what God did not say. In other words, I would feed life and ignore death. And the people would respond to the life side. I demonstrated this is what God is saying. God is really, this part right here is really good. Let's focus on that. I would ignore the part that wasn't God. If someone came and took the microphone and they said absolutely nothing that was God, then I would take the microphone and I would say nothing about what they just said. I would point to the last thing that God said in the room. And I might say, now let's not move too fast here. Let's focus back on this. God said this. And I would look at the last thing that God said in the room. Now, what was I doing? I was modeling, demonstrating, being led by the Spirit. So I wasn't trying to inform and correct what's wrong. I was pointing to what is life. What is breath? What is the partnership with God? Now, it took a while, but after a few years, the momentum came on the church that seldom did weird things happen. Now, this is risky and dangerous. That was my model. You don't have to have an open mic, but I do think you have to have the principle of the open mic. What is it that you can do? How can you implement a demonstration of government that is transformational, not informational? Can have the information, but it can't just be information. Because the idea is we are leading to raise up a body, a place that God inhabits. I think a body, you know, as I've been traveling out apostolically in various places that I met, recently I've discovered a few pastors and leaders that are tired because there's spiritual warfare that goes on. And spiritual warfare comes in the form of flesh and blood. Because Paul said we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We wrestle against principalities, powers, rulers, and hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. We wrestle against influence and imagination and action and beliefs that are manifested in the form of flesh and blood. And so I've discovered some people that are tired, because when you're building a body, when you're living for a body, you're working with human beings who have human natures, and they can easily be off track and embrace an old government information. And so we have to lead. And so one of the things that I've heard is it needs to be family. It needs to be friends. It needs to be fun. You know, that's correct. It needs to be family, it needs to be friends, it needs to be fun. Another extreme that I've heard, man, it needs to be the presence of God. And so some places they focus on the presence of God so much, the presence of God becomes more powerful than family, friends, or fun. Or the other extreme is we focus on family, friends, and fun so much it becomes a social reality, a soul reality, and there's no dynamic of the Spirit. I think to be the body of Christ, we have to be the body of Christ. So the manifest presence of God to be the body of Christ is essential. There has to be a manifest presence of the Holy Spirit that gives us internally righteousness, peace, and joy. There has to be a manifest presence. Without that, you can have all the family, friends, and fun that you want, but you will not be the body of Christ. You will not fulfill being a body. You'll simply become something that is empowered by the soul. You won't create an environment where people hear God in the Spirit. You'll create an environment where people hear God externally. Inform me, inform me. You know, you go onto the social internet, onto Facebook or Twitter or FaceTime or whatever you go on, you're going to get information. You're going to be informed, informed, informed. We live in a day when knowledge is readily available, and we can be informed by many things. And that informing will affect us if that's our means of hearing. Scripture says the eyes are the window of the soul, not the door. So my eyes should show you what's going on inside of me. They should not be the means by which I put things inside of me. Now, they help me see so that I know how to release what's inside of me to others. And so there is a value to being able to have an eye gate or an ear gate or a touch gate, a taste gate, a smell gate. But the truth is the heart gate is the place of the kingdom of heaven. And so I need to raise up a body that hears with your spirit. You hear with the Spirit. So to be the body of Christ, I have to be the body of Christ. But then it also has to be a body, many members working together. And so if body parts don't work together, there's not a relationship. There's not a family. It becomes parts that don't fit with this family become parts that are rejected. Parts that don't fit with this family become parts that are cancerous. They take, they don't give, and so it isn't a body. Parts that don't find the place of friendship, don't find the place of fun, become something that is less than that. So we have to have the manifest presence of Christ in a relationship of being the body of Christ. So we have to lead to raise up the body, guys and gals. Whether it's as parents with our family or pastors in our churches, leaders in our training schools, disciplers in our discipleship group, leaders in our home group, whatever form we do this, whether it's in the bar, at the coffee shop, I don't have any problem with any of those forms. The problem I have is when those forms lack the manifest presence of Christ. Or when those forms lack the presence of family, friends, and fun. So we need body parts that work together to manifest the manifest presence of God. So we got to lead to raise up a body. So before sacrifice and offerings were, the body was. So in the context of Hebrews 10 that I read, it says God didn't want sacrifice and offerings. Hebrews 10:1 says that that old system was a shadow of the good thing to come. Now, the good thing to come was the body of Christ. So the body is the key because the body is the place. But to understand the sacrifices and offerings, we have to understand the body. Now, I have a whole course I teach on grace. There's three courses I teach. One is on the redeemed earth, healing, curse of the fall. Another one is based on Acts chapter 2, seven things that happened at the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And then I have a third course, which is Understanding Grace, a B level, which looks at church history and how the grace of God is manifesting. But in that, I look at the shadow of the good thing to come in Deuteronomy 12, beginning at verse 5, in the shadow of the good thing to come, in a Torah tabernacle system. In a day when the government was in formation and it was a shadow calling out for the day when the government would be transformation. God says, seek out the place where God chooses his name to abide. And in that place, you need to bring your burnt offerings. You need to bring your sacrifices. You need to bring your tithes. You need to bring your heave offerings, bring your vowed offerings, bring your free will offerings, and bring the first of your flock and herd offerings. And if you do that, in Deuteronomy 12, it says if you do that, then you can also bring an eighth offering, which is a meat offering. And you can do that with the clean or the unclean. You can do it anywhere, as long as you bring those other seven offerings in the place that God chooses his name to abide. Now, God did not want sacrifice and offerings, but he commanded sacrifice and offerings in a place that God chose his name to abide, a Torah tabernacle system. So in the body of Christ, there is a body with Christ in it. And in that body that has Christ in it, it's made of many members, not just individuals with Christ, but individual members with Christ in them that work as individuals and work together as a body to testify that God is their God, they are God's people, and they partner with him in all things. And to demonstrate that influence in the world in which they live. To do God things, like the fox does fox things, the bird does bird things, and humans do human things when they are in the likeness and the image of their Father in partnership with him, when internally they receive their life, breath, and all things from him. So the shadow are testimonies of relationship. So what relationship in the body is a burnt offering? Something in this body that I'm leading has to be, hi, here I am, I present my body, I'm alive. I'm alive, I'm here, I'm in, I'm making a commitment, I'm in on this thing, I'm part of this body. How do we create realities that get people to buy into that reality? I'm here, I'm alive, I live for this body. He makes me come alive, he chose me, I present my body a living sacrifice. Like the burnt offering came, it was the entrance to that Torah tabernacle reality. Me, alive to God, he picked me, he loves me, but here I am also, I'm all in as a body. The second level of relationship is a sacrifice. A sacrifice is a sacrifice, something I'm willing to do to demonstrate I'm in. I'm loved, and so I demonstrate that I'm loved. I do works that speak of my faith toward God, my faith toward this body. How do we lead in a way that creates levels of relationship that demonstrate a commitment based on a revelation of love? I'm in on this thing. That demonstrate works that speak of faith. And then the third level is a response. Like tithe is a response to the one who gives bread and wine, a response to the King of righteousness and peace. He gives us bread, he gives us wine, so we respond to him with a tenth. We respond to him with a judgment of love. We have a testimony. We spill over. We give something back. We respond to the one who gives to us. How do we create an environment to a church, a body, a business, a family that has this response level relationship in it, that responds to God, that has a testimony? I respond to you. I respond to you. And it testifies of the charisma, the fruit of the Spirit, the charisma and the fruit of this body. I'm in this church. I demonstrate I'm in this church. I do works that speak of my faith, but I also respond to the testimony of this corporate letter, this corporate body. I'm a responder. I testify with the fruit of Eli family. I testify with the charisma of Eli family. And then how do we lead that creates an environment for that level of the heave offering that would be given to the priest, lifted up, comes back down, is the provision for the priest. I submit to you is unto the Lord, being under authority, being the testimony of that life, being sent as a member of this body because I'm under the authority of this body. I'm not just out doing some independent thing. I'm keeping in the way of this body. And I'm sent. Wherever I am, that's where the body is. Wherever the body is, that's where I am. I'm in this thing. I'm part of the testimony. How do we lead in a way that demonstrates a response testimony? These are big issues, aren't they? And then the vowed offering. The vowed offering is what is vowed. I think the true vowed offering is what does God say about the members of this church, or the members of my family, or the members of my business, or the members of whatever I'm doing, whatever I'm a part of that expresses the body of Christ. What does God say about so-and-so? Who are they in the body of Christ? What do they bring to the fellowship? You are somebody in Christ, and so you are clothed in the works prepared for you in Christ. You bring something to the table. You contribute lots of food, one salt, but the food is a testimony of the resurrection life of Christ, because it's uniquely who you are in Christ that causes us to be us, contributes to the fellowship. And then, what about a free will offering? I think that's just simply community. It has nothing to do with who I am or who you are. It has to do with who we are. My body is broken for you. We share the cup of grace together. We are brotherly love. We are the community of God. How do we lead in a way that expresses a body that demonstrates that free will offering? That this is the community. Come to unity. The come to union, communion of Christ, brotherly love. And then how do we demonstrate that first fruit, that first thing, first of the herd, first of the flock that guarantees our children, our children's children, will still be a part of this family, an expression of the body of Christ that we are. So how are we living today for the future? How are we all in? How are we sitting on a throne together and with him, partnering with him in all things, and giving him the first, which guarantees all the rest to him? There's a lot that can be taught on this. I teach on this in detail in the various grace classes, especially in Grace A and Grace B. But I have to talk about this just in brief here as leaders. Are we leading what we're leading to be a body in levels of relationship? I hope you're catching just a glimpse of what's inside of me to share. Deuteronomy 29:29 says the secret things belong to God, but then when they're revealed to us, they belong to us and to our children and our children's children. So I wanted to inspire anybody, if somehow I'm a spiritual dad in your life, I'm a spiritual father in your life, I ask that you would go to God and you would say, I want to see what that man sees. Would you give me a revelation of this? What does it mean to live for the will of God to be a body? What does it mean? He's talking about stuff that I'm not getting. You know, what I'm sharing with you is out of my 40 going on 46 year journey. I'm not quite old yet, but I'm getting older, and I know this is growing in me. I want you to own this. I don't want you to have it in information. I want you to have this in your arsenal. So pastors, leaders, I want you to lead for a body. Let me pray with you. Oh, Father, I can never say that and not be astounded with what that means. You're our Father. Father, we come to you. We thank you that your name is holy. That means our name is holy. And I'm asking for myself, for all of us in the communities that we lead, for these precious leaders, men and women that are listening to this, I ask that you would give a revelation of what it means to lead and to live for the purpose of a body and not ministry. We will minister, but we only minister because we minister for the sake of being a body. We minister as the evidence of being that body. So I pray that you would lead them. I pray that you'd guide them. I pray that you would give them structures that can contain the coffee, the revelation, that you give them ways and ideas and give them a means by which they can share that, inspire one another. But let us each find that now relationship with you that leads for the purpose of a body. Please, let this be a strong, growing revelation in us all, that we do not do anything for the sake of ministry, but we minister for the sake of being the body of Christ here, now, tomorrow, and into eternity. And I pray this by the power of your Holy Spirit, inviting your Holy Spirit, who's come in Jesus' name, to fulfill the Father's will in all things. Amen. Thank you for tuning in.